What about the mental challenges of space travel? What sort of personality traits are we looking for when we're selecting an astronaut? So, Dave, what sort of things would make a great astronaut? What do we look for?
Firstly, they have to be very competent. They have to be really good at maths and mental arithmetic. They have to be able to remember really long and complicated sequences of tasks and be able to perform them when there's real stress, when there's a real problem. But also the softer skills, so cooperation, collaboration, knowing when to be the leader, when to take a step back. A little bit like the apprentice. The team member that's always wanting to be team leader isn't really the best person to be in your team.
And what about kind of sociability? I mean, do you need introverts, extroverts, party animals, you know, or do you just need like one party animal per crew?
Well, it sounds like a question that we really should have the answer to. But to be honest, we don't. I think one of the things is you need to be able to deal with conflict, but not to run. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. So you need to face up to that conflict, but to diffuse it in a positive way.
And there's lots and lots of tasks that astronauts might have to do, ranging from, you know, the very stressful situation of takeoff to, you know, the mundane stuff on board. Do you need people that have a very wide range of skills, you know, that can tolerate that sort of the mundaneness of space life?
Well, much of being in space is doing the mundane tasks. And you need people that can do those tasks, but understand that a small task that could, in some senses, be insignificant is important to the bigger picture, to the whole mission. So the Russians love the making paper.
Like origami
birds.
Kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what's that to do with space flight? But by monitoring people doing the same task time and time again, but to a high performance, to a very high level, that's the kind of person you need in space.
So someone who can do endless amounts of origami patiently and correctly. But how else would you test people's things like team skills and that kind of stuff?
So one of the things is you need to have people that are high-functioning people, people that are good at things, but that see that bigger picture. So you get them to do tasks where you don't give them all the information, and you put them in pairs or in groups, and so there's an outcome for the whole group, and you have to be working so that they are doing what they need to do, but they're not compromising the overall goals of the team.
The next thing is the isolation. I mean, I find it hard enough, you know, working with Chris and the team sometimes, but what about if we were on Mars, just us, forever? You know, how do you train people or select people who can cope with that kind of isolation?
On Earth, there's three main models of being so isolated. There's the NEMO, which is what NASA use. They become aquanauts. So it's a habitat that's 19 metres down off Key Largo in Florida. And so they go down and they live and work there for 7 to 14 days. Then the Russians did something called Mars 500. And so they had an international crew staying in basically in a warehouse that was mocked up to be a little bit like a spacecraft for 520 days. Not a lot of fun. But they ultimately knew they were in Moscow. And then there's Concordia, which is in Antarctica. And actually, that's the best thing, because 9 months, you're on your own. No one can come and help you.
And presumably, no one can hear you scream. So thanks very much. That's Dave Green. He's a lecturer in human and aerospace physiology at King's College London. You are listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Kat Arney, and with Chris Smith.